Blog Talk Radio.
Indeed, indeed, that is our prayer. Dear Jesus, let me walk with thee. Welcome to another Manna from Heaven broadcast. We're in Romans 16, and I hope and pray you have been blessed with this series. I surely have. We're looking at this great epistle, simply the last chapter. It is a magnificent chapter. It is a chapter that should remind every pastor, every leader of a church to know that you don't build the church by yourself. It takes a team of people. It takes a whole community of godly saints, people who are devoted to living for Christ. It takes that whole community to build a church. No matter how gifted we are, no matter how pivotal our ministry may be, no one does it alone. What greater man who followed Christ than the Apostle Paul? And he testifies that he did not do it alone. Neither can we. So let's turn to Romans chapter 16 as we now move towards verse 12. We're going to be spending today looking at a portion of verse 12, Romans chapter 16, verses 1 through 12. Thus beginneth the reading of God's holy word.
Romans 16.
I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church which is at Cenchrea, that ye receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you. For she hath been a succorer of many, and of myself also. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise greet the church that is in their house. Salute my well-beloved Epaenetus, who is the first fruit of Achaia unto Christ. Greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. Salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. Greet Amplius, my beloved in the Lord. Salute Urbane, our helper in Christ, and Stachys, my beloved. Salute Apelles, approved in Christ. Salute them which are of Aristobulus' household. Salute Herodian, my kinsman. Greet them that be of the household of Narcissus, which are in the Lord. Salute Tryphena and Tryphosa, who labor in the Lord. Salute the beloved Persis, which labored much in the Lord.
Verse 12, salute Tryphena and Tryphosa, who labor in the Lord. Bless us, God, we pray. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, for your mercy and your grace. We thank you, Lord, that you're building your church. You're building it with imperfect people. You're building it with people whom you have redeemed, people whom you have saved from darkness, from iniquity, from a life of sin and failure. You saved us that we might be productive in Christ. Bless us, O Lord. Bless us as we endeavor to imitate the people that we're reading about here in Romans 16, who laid it all on the line for Jesus' sake. Lord, that we would have that same passion, that we would have that same commitment, that we would have that same view on eternity. Bless us, Lord. Holy Spirit, again, transform our hearts. We pray, Holy Spirit, that as we yield to you, you would make us more and more like Jesus. Bless us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're looking at your outline and it says Thursday, October 27th, Tryphena, Romans 16:11a, that's a typo. That should be Romans 16:12a, Romans 16:12. So if you can take that 11 and turn it into a 12, and then if you flip the outline over to the next page, also it's Tryphosa, Romans 16:11:12b. So if you can change that 11 to a 12 again, and then their Persis, Romans 16:11c, that should be a 12 also. Please forgive me for letting those typos slip by me. I am not only the best of my outlines, I'm also my own editor. So sometimes things slip by, and forgive me for that. Well, we're talking about Tryphena today, Tryphena. Now, if you recall, yesterday we were talking about Narcissus, and I gave you a little bit of the, a little audio on the Greek mythology to kind of give you an understanding of the name Narcissus, who, when you translate or you look for the meaning to this proper noun, it could, one, mean daffodil, the flower. Also, it speaks of great beauty, right? The young man, Narcissus, he was extremely beautiful. Also, the daffodil is a narcotic, believe it or not. It is a flower that could cause lethargy. It's daffodils. It's a flower that would cause people to become sleepy. And so the whole idea behind the name Narcissus is you can be intoxicated with love, intoxicated with beauty, intoxicated, especially if you are the narcissist, especially if you're the one looking into the mirror and you see that you are, or you conclude that you are extremely beautiful, because in the story, in the myth, Narcissus became in love with himself to the point where he wouldn't eat because he just wanted to keep looking at himself. And so that's where we get the term narcissism, or this is where we get the idea of people who are just into themselves and see no one else. Well, because of the name Narcissus, we concluded that there is a possibility that this man, Narcissus, had been selected by Claudius the Emperor. Now, Claudius had been dead now for a number of years, and so it could be that this Narcissus had been selected by the Emperor Claudius, the pedophile, and was taken away from his parents because of his beauty, and was a sexual toy of the Roman emperor. We do know, based on records, that this Narcissus, this happens to be the one referred to in the annals of Roman history, that this Narcissus became a free man. At some point after Claudius died, he was able to ensure his liberty. After ensuring his liberty, he became a rich and powerful person, and that although he was very successful in life, he did not come to Christ. And so Paul salutes those slaves, those former employees of this Narcissus who are in the Lord, because not all of Narcissus' employees and former slaves are in Christ, but there's a few, and so Paul greets them. As we turn to verse 12, Paul says, I want you to espasomai Tryphena. And the Bible doesn't say explicitly that they're twins, but it is inferred based on the internal language of the text. So it says here in Genesis chapter 4, verse 1, and Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. Now notice, it doesn't say in the text that she conceived again, but rather that she bare. In other words, she conceived once, but out of that one conception, two babies came out, two boys came out. Let me read it again. And Adam knew, that's a euphemism for sexual intimacy, and Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord, and she again bare his brother Abel. So it infers that Cain is the firstborn and Abel is the secondborn. Now, you know how this story ended. It ended in tragedy. It's a tragic twin story, where the older brother, Cain, kills the younger brother, Abel. Now, this motif repeats itself in the book of Genesis again through the stories of Esau and Jacob. Esau and Jacob, we know, were twins. And, of course, Esau is the oldest brother, and Jacob is the younger brother, and they had this war among them. They had a war among them in the womb. Let's turn to Genesis 5. Let's go to Genesis 25, And let me point this out to you, because the tragedy for Cain and Esau and Jacob begins in the womb. It says in Genesis 25:19, and these are the generations of Isaac, and Abraham's son. Abraham begot Isaac, verse 20 of Genesis 25. And Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of Padam Aram, the sister of Laban, the Syrian. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. And the children struggled within her womb. And she said, this is Rebekah, if this be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord. She went to prayer. And the Lord said unto Rebekah, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. The one people shall be stronger than the other, and the elder shall serve the younger. And when her days were to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red, all over like a hairy garment, and she called his name Esau. And after him came his brother out, and he had his hand upon the heel of Esau, and she named him Jacob, or supplanter. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. So, again, a tragic twin story. We know how the story unfolds. Esau, after selling his birthright to Jacob, now wants to kill Jacob because his father Isaac has given the blessing of the firstborn to Jacob. And so both Isaac and Rebekah send Jacob far, far away to escape the rage of Esau, who wanted to kill him. So you have two twin stories in the Bible, Cain and Abel, Esau and Jacob. Now, if you notice, both are males. Both twin tragedies are male. Now, here you have one, and I'm bringing this up only because we're talking about Tryphena and Tryphosa, and as I believe, they are twins. They're two female twins, not two male twins, but two females. And since they're both laboring in the city of Rome, I thought it would be apropos to introduce the myth of Romulus and Remus. Romulus and Remus is only 3 minutes long. It's not a very lengthy audio. But here it is, in case you want to brush up on your Roman mythology. Yesterday we brushed up on our Greek mythology when we talked about Echo and Narcissus. But today we want to look at Romulus and Remus.
Romulus is notorious as the founding hero of Rome. He is the son of Mars, the god of war in Roman mythology, and the legendary Rhea Silvia. When he was a baby, Romulus and his brother Remus were thrown into the Tiber River. But thanks to the god's intervention, the babies were protected and raised by a she-wolf. This she-wolf adopted the boys as if they were its offspring. Romulus and Remus suckled the she-wolf's breasts and were able to survive. The children were found by the shepherd Faustulus, who grabbed and brought them back to the world of men. Romulus became a strong boy, and one time his brother Remus found himself in a brawl and was imprisoned. Romulus fought against his brother's captors, and after defeating them, he unshackled Remus. During this event, the two brothers became aware of their noble origin. The brothers were then given the right to found their own city, but differences between them led Remus to found his city in Aventine Hill, and Romulus founded his own in Palatine Hill. The two cities were quite close to each other, and Romulus delimited the territory of his own city. After a dispute, Remus disrespected the frontier drawn by Romulus and was killed by his brother. After this episode, Romulus understood that his city would have to be more populated. After starting to accept all kinds of people in his new settlement, the city ended up welcoming people of all kinds. But those rejected by other villages stood out from the rest. There were many bandits, deserters, and murderers. All of them were now living in the city of Romulus. Its city was populated, but most inhabitants were men. To address this issue, Romulus invited his neighbors to a feast. During the event, Romulus's men kidnapped the women of their neighbors. This episode was known as the abduction of the Sabine women. A war between the Sabines and Romans began. This bloody quarrel only came to an end due to the Sabine women, who had been abducted and were already married with Roman offspring. They negotiated peace between the two sides. Romulus ruled the city of Rome for many years. The Roman capital was built during his government, as well as the First Legion, and the institution of the Roman Republic. At the end of his life, Romulus was grabbed by the gods and turned into a deity. The founder of Rome started to be worshipped as a warrior god named Quirinus. Romulus was a man of many feats, but he will forever be remembered as the founder of Rome, the Eternal City.
So Romulus is the founder of Rome. Mythologically, he had a brother named Remus. He kills Remus because Remus winds up, and so there you have it. Another tragic twin story, and all of the tragic twin stories are male twins. The beautiful thing about this account here in Romans 16 is that the two women, Tryphena and Tryphosa, are saved in Christ, transformed in Christ, working for Christ, not working for themselves, not looking to establish their own empire like Romulus or Remus, but working in conjunction with others to advance the kingdom of our Lord. So this first sister, Tryphena, it means delicate. And the Bible says she labored for the Lord. We're going to leave it there. We're going to come back tomorrow and finish up by talking about her sister, Tryphosa, and put them together and see if we can, like them, join forces, work as hard as we can, be as united as we can be to advance the cause of our Savior.
So shall it be at last in that bright morning when the soul wakes and life's shadows flee. Shut